This week the title is Betrothed, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that, but before we go there, this is what Jesus said just after he was baptized by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then at the end of Jesus' ministry, Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And now what's this word mean? Therefore, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us because he's anointed us to preach good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now let's make it personal. Let's make it personal. Personal. So everyone, let's read this together. Who has he sent?
Me.
Who has he sent?
Me.
To do what? To proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So, with that in mind, who do you know that needs being set free? Really cool. This week I was meeting with a young person, young teenager, and they said, when we spent that time in prayer, the Holy Spirit brought someone to my mind. God is at work. God is at work. Now, he doesn't know how that's going to work out or whatever, but the Holy Spirit brought someone to their mind, and so they're going to pray for him. So let's just take a moment, and let's ask the Lord to reveal whoever might be in our lives that may need set free. And by the way, it could be the last person in the world you think would ever need set free. They may act like they don't need anything, but I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to lay someone's name on your heart. And then begin praying for that person and just see what God does. Just see what God does. It's all God. It's all God. Let's just look to him in prayer. Father in heaven, please continue to reveal to us. Because I believe you've sent us. You've commissioned us to be your disciples, to be salt and light. In fact, you said that we are those things. So Holy Spirit, right now in this moment of silence, and I don't want to put you in a box. You can do it anytime today, but in this moment of silence, if you so choose, please impress upon each one of us at least one person. Holy Spirit, in this moment of silence, please reveal. I want to thank you in advance for how you have revealed, you are revealing, and you will continue to reveal. Thank you. Now just lay these people in our hearts. May we pray daily for them and watch you as you open the doors. Please. I ask these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So with that in mind, what are we going to do? Walk in intimacy with God and invite others to do the same. All right, last week's table talk, either I forgot, crying, or it was good, smiley face to each other real quick. Boy, you guys are almost immune to this. I'm going to have to do something different, aren't I? Okay, here, we're going to jump forward because I have like 100 slides this morning. So Tanya said, man, I can see it's going to be, I forget how she put it, a long-winded one. The problem with many messages is that they should be two or three rather than just one. So you're going to get three in one this morning, okay? The problem with most messages is they got so much in them. But next Sunday, we have our international worker that's going to be here. And then the Sunday after that, we have our annual meeting. And so, hey, you're getting all of it today. Which reminds me of another story I heard one time. There was this preacher that moved in, and it's out west, and it was just after a holiday, and there were only a few people gathered. And so he just preached his heart out to those few people that were there, and a rancher came up to him afterward, and he said, Pastor, can I tell you something? He said, man, if I've only got a few cows, I don't dump the whole load. We're going to dump the whole load, okay? Here's where we are. In your sermon notes, here's the first blank. We are betrothed. We are betrothed. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, if you've prayed to receive Jesus Christ, you are betrothed to Jesus. That means you're engaged to Jesus. You are the bride of Jesus Christ. That is so important. That is so, so important. That should be just an amazing motive for each one of us, an added motive, and Paul's going to get into that. So we're going to look at Romans 7 and the beginning of chapter 8. You can turn around your Bibles. I'm going to have all the passages here. Paul continues teaching about the deeper life. In the Christian Missionary Alliance, we have termed that, our founder termed what we're talking about, the deeper life in Christ. The deeper life in Christ is about intimacy with God. It's about the filling of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit flowing through us and touching other people's lives. So Paul continues his teaching about the deeper life. He begins with an illustration for marriage. And yes, I'm going to talk fast this whole time, okay? Because we're moving. Buckle your seatbelt. Hands inside. Nose sticking out. Hands inside. We're going to take off, okay? The illustration is from marriage. And this is very meaningful for me now. And this is Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. And I put it in italics. Do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to men who know the law, that the law has authority over a man only as long as he lives? The law only has power over us as long as we live. And then he goes on, for example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she's released from the law of marriage. Now, is that meaningful for me right now? I still wear this wedding ring because I haven't lost enough weight to take it off yet. I'm teasing. I'm sure I can force the thing off. But I have been released. My vow to Lynette was, I'm your husband as long as you live. And Lynette's with the Lord now, so I'm released from that. So then, if she marries, so her husband dies, the illustration, her husband dies, marries another while her husband's alive, she's considered adulterous. But if her husband dies, she's released from that law and is not an adulteress, even though she marries another man. So what's the spiritual application? I hope you're following me here, because this is really huge. It's really important. What's the spiritual application? Paul goes on. So my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ so that you might belong to another. You might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead. Who was raised from the dead? Everyone please say it.
Jesus.
Say it again.
Jesus.
One more time.
Jesus.
It's just like Sunday school. The one answer you are always sure to just say, Jesus, right? Okay, so the one who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law, we're at work in our bodies so that we bore fruit to death. But now by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve the new way of the Spirit and not the old way, the written code. So here's Paul's logic. Here's a brief recap of Paul. Recap. Wow, that came out wrong. Number one, don't miss it. We were united. We were married to sin. Why? Because we kept on sinning. If you keep doing it, you're the slave of it. You're married to it. That's number one. Don't miss it. We were united to sin. We were married to sin. Number two, we repented. We received Jesus as Lord and Savior and were sealed with the Holy Spirit. The moment you repent and pray to receive Jesus Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. That's what being born again is all about. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like this wedding ring. It's a seal. It's a symbol that I am married. When we pray to receive Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit seals us. He comes and abides within us. Okay? That's salvation. And then third, now we're recapping Paul's argument. God's grace is greater than our sin. Shall we sin so that grace may abound all the more? And everyone said?
Amen.
And everyone said?
Amen.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. No way, Jose. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because the more there was sin, the more grace was piled on. So Paul says, so some people, you know, a teenager would say, well, gee, let's sin up more, right? Right? You work with teens. You know someone would say that, or at least a junior higher would. So no way would say. Fourth, when we were filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized, This is so important. When we were filled with the Holy Spirit, when we were baptized, we identified with Christ's death. And I was talking to a young person about being baptized because they asked about baptism. When you go under the waters of baptism, you're symbolic of what? What are you doing? We lay people down in the grave and then you're raised to new life. When we were filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit, we identified with Christ's death. So then we too were to die to sin. We're supposed to die to sin so that we can be married to. And now this one I goofed up. I did this earlier. As a result, we are set free from sin and are betrothed to Jesus. It's not just eligibility. I got that wrong. So just put a line through half of your notes there. I got that wrong. As a result, we are free from sin and we are betrothed to Jesus. It's not just eligible, we are. If you have prayed to receive Jesus Christ, you're betrothed to Jesus Christ. And betrothal means basically you're married. When Joseph was espoused to be married, when Joseph was betrothed to Mary, it was like they were already married. Lynette and I dated 7 years. It took me 7 years to get the girl to finally say yes. I remember it like yesterday. I went down to Henderson Falls. There's little waterfalls right there. I got on my knee. I said, "Will you marry me?" She said, "Yes." Now we were betrothed to each other. I will be faithful. She, I put a ring on her finger. I kissed her on the lips. First time I ever kissed her. Say that again. Actually, the moment I did this, like seven guys stood up in the woods and screamed and yelled. It was pretty embarrassing. The most intimate moment I've ever had in seven guys stand up. And then when we get back to school during lunch, they stand up and tell the story in a song before the whole student body. It was pretty embarrassing. But anyway, it was memorable though. As a result, when we pray to receive Jesus Christ, we become betrothed to Jesus. We become married to Jesus. Betrothed him, because when we get to heaven, what's going to happen? The marriage supper of the Lamb. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. We are his bride. Why is that so important? A powerful motivator. Read the question. Who desires to hurt their spouse by cheating on him or her? Anyone here want to do that? I've been a pastor since dirt. I'm that old. I have never, ever, 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 even someone that's been unfaithful, they've all said, "I never wanted to hurt him or her. Yeah, I was tempted and I went into sin, but I didn't want to hurt him or her." The only people I've ever heard say that they wanted to hurt was the one that was innocent and was betrayed by the other, and I want to get even. That's the only time I've ever heard it, and even that is extremely rare. Are you with me? It's a pretty big motivation. So my next question, who desires to cheat on Jesus? Anyone here want to do that? We're the betrothed. I know you don't want to cheat on your spouse. I know you don't. If you do, come talk to me. I'll dope slap you a few times. No, I won't do that. But something's wrong if you do. Even if the motive is, I don't want to hurt this person. You don't want to do it. Who wants to cheat on Jesus? And here's the hard truth. Idolatry is spiritual adultery. Idolatry is anything I put between me and God. Anything that's more important to me than God is. Idolatry is spiritual adultery. Because I'm putting that person, that thing, whatever it is, even grandkids. By the way, I got plenty of pics of grandkids. Anyone want to see them after the service? Come see me. They cannot be more important to me than Jesus and God is. If they are, I'm sinning. Any amens? I'm talking grandkids here. You see, the reality is choosing to sin is spiritual adultery. Remember Jeremiah 2:13. So, and for years and years and years, I never confessed the primary sin because Jeremiah 2:13 says, I have two things against you, Israel. Number one, you've abandoned me. You've abandoned me. That's number one. You turn your back on me and you turn to cisterns. Cisterns that can't even hold water. So the primary sin is not the cistern. The primary sin is committing spiritual adultery. Turning my back on Jesus. Turning my back on God the Father and the Holy Spirit. We would never want to do that to our own spouse. Why would we ever want to do that? I know you don't want to do it to Jesus, but how many of us do it and don't even think about it? I'm telling you, if you're born again, you're the betrothed of Jesus. All throughout Scripture, you're described as the bride of Jesus. You're the bride of Jesus. Now Paul goes on to his experience. Romans 7, he continues on. He uses this illustration. Romans 6, shall we continue in sin? Never, ever, ever. Then he uses the illustration of marriage to help us understand how serious this is. And now he goes into his own experience, Paul's experience. And this is Pastor Trevor's doo-doo passage. I don't know how to spell doo-doo, but it's spelled that way there, okay? Maybe that's the sanctified version of it. So Romans 7, 15 through 17. Now, this is just a synopsis. We're not going to go through all of them because I get confused with there's so many do's. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. Enough do-do's in there? In essence, the very thing that he does not want to do, he finds himself doing. The very thing that he wants to do, he can't do. Hence the do-do passage. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. It is no longer myself doing it, but it's sin living in me. See, Paul's experience of being stuck in sin, and that's being a carnal Christian. Self is in control. And that's what Paul was describing. He was there at one point in his life. The eventual culmination, Romans 7:24. Paul said, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Anyone ever feel that way? Anyone ever swear you'll never do it again? And then you do it again. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Paul was there. Paul understood. Now, digression just a tiny bit. What did Adam and Eve do? We got a contrast here between what Paul did and what Adam and Eve did. Here's what Adam and Eve did. I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid. Adam and Eve sinned, and then they hid. See, that's what Satan wants us to do. Satan wants us to hide. That's why Romans is so clear in chapter 8. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because you see, Adam and Eve were terrified. They sinned against God. They were terrified. And when you're terrified, what do? You hide. But because there's no condemnation, we can stand and say, I surrender all. I submit. Come. And when Jesus Christ comes, when the Holy Spirit fills us, it's not for condemnation. It's so that he can come and set us free. Adam and Eve chose to hide. What did Paul do? Instead of hiding, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. So we've got Adam and Eve, they hid. They ran and hid from God. That is box number one, choice number one. We're on that TV show that you've got. What's the name of it? Anyone know? Let's make a deal. Box number one, or what do they call it? It's not box. What is it? Door number one. Adam and Eve, you can hide and run and be absolutely miserable. You'll be alienated from God and other people. And even if you put on a good face at church and people like you, you'll know deep down inside that they like the good face that you're putting on and they don't really know you, so it doesn't do you any good. Are you with me? I'm talking to these guys. I'm talking to everyone. So door number one, hide. Door number two, Paul allowed the Holy Spirit to fill him. Why did he allow the Holy Spirit to fill him? Why did he invite God in? Because he knew that as a believer, there is now no condemnation, no fear, no fear, because Jesus loved us, so loved us that he gave himself. So there shouldn't be any fear. Run to him. So door number one, run and hide. Door number two, run into his arms. And you know what most people do? They run and hide. Because deep down inside, if you guys really knew who I was, you wouldn't like me. And so I run and hide. And it's a tool of Satan. And then he picks us off one by one. So here's our option, run and hide or Holy Spirit empowerment. You see, Jesus has the power to set us free from the law of sin and death. And here, I constantly make these things, whether you like them or not, here they are. So here is Paul of Tarsus. Everyone know Saul of Tarsus, everyone know who Saul is? This is prior to the Damascus Road. This is a Pharisee. This is a religious leader of the day. And he is out persecuting the church. He is trying to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. Did he make good decisions as Saul of Tarsus? Is his life completely out of balance? Does it remind you of anyone? That's prior to Jesus. Jesus is not a part of his life. He is in control. Self is in control. And self never makes very good decisions. Self makes a mess of everything. Any amens? So then we have Paul, born again, yet carnal and stuck in Romans 7. So he's prayed to receive Jesus Christ in his life. But who's in control? Everyone say a little bit louder. How's his life doing? How's that working for you? One of my favorite questions. How's that working for you, Paul? And he's in Romans 7. That what I want to do, I don't do. The very thing I say I'll never do again, I find myself doing again. Who will deliver me from this body of death? That's where he is. That's where I believe most Christians live. And then we have the Apostle Paul. Self and flesh have been crucified and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. See, it's the Holy Spirit that actually can crucify self and put Jesus on the throne. And then he begins bringing order to our lives, meaning and purpose. But to be honest, we don't do a good job. We need Christ doing it. And I'm telling you, it's been my experience that I can't crucify self in me. I need the Holy Spirit to do it. I need the Holy Spirit to do it. Truths. Number one, the self or flesh makes a horrible God. Let me just be honest. You guys don't make good gods. Neither do I. I make a horrific God because I make really bad choices on my own. How about you? Be honest. Just be honest with yourself. What kind of choices do you make on your own? Number one principle that Paul's number one truth, self makes a bad God. And what's it look like? There's self on the throne. There's self on the throne. And he just makes horrible choices and your life is completely out of control. It's not balanced. That was Saul of Tarsus. Self is on the throne. He's running around actually persecuting the church. He's running around trying to kill the followers of Jesus. He thinks he's doing the right thing, but he's actually doing the exact opposite thing. Does that describe you at all? You think you're doing the right thing, only you discover you're doing the absolute wrong thing. And that helped me see that lots of times. But honey, I was just trying. Oh, by the way, did you notice the exit lights are all lit now? So at least you know how to get out now. please don't get up and go out now. But all the exit lights in the church are working. Our guys fixed them all. They teased me and said, you know, everyone's going to leave now, Pastor. Second, it's possible to be a carnal Christian. It is possible to be a carnal Christian. And that one is this slide. Paul, he's born again. He's born again. Jesus in his life. It's possible to be born again and yet carnal and stuck in Romans 7. It's all through the New Testament. It is possible to be born again and yet you still in control. You think that's impossible? Think about the last time something happened and you were really worried about it. Are you with me? And then you prayed and the Lord just gave you this huge peace. And then 5 minutes later, what did you do? You picked that rascal right back up, didn't you? And now you're all fretting and worried all over again. That's what happens. That's an example. That's just one tiny example of how we can pray to receive Jesus Christ. We give him everything, and then we just take control right back again. We just kick him right off the throne. That's why we need to be being filled with the Holy Spirit, because we just take control all over again. I don't even know how it happens. I just know it happens. Third truth, it's possible to run and hide like Adam and Eve did. Again, I was afraid. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Man, we're actually going to get done on time. Keep talking quick, huh? Fourth principle, it is possible to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's what this is all about. That's what the Alliance is all about. The Alliance and the deeper life is about self being crucified, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and then the Lord begins to bring order into our lives. Christ is on the throne and self is dethroned. That is what the abundant life is all about. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. The fifth truth, for a New Testament believer, there are either two choices. Either self on the throne or Jesus on the throne. There's just two choices. For someone, we're not talking about salvation, I'm talking about someone who was born again. Someone who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You got two choices. Either self is on the throne or Jesus is on the throne. It's either all self or all Jesus. It's either all self or all Jesus. Paul, born again yet carnal. The Apostle Paul, self is crucified, Jesus is on the throne. And here's the question. Why do we need being filled with the Holy Spirit? So many people ask me that. One of my misleading answers, one of Jeff's misleading answers is, we need filling of the Holy Spirit because we all leak. Holy Spirit convicted me this week about that. He even dope slapped me. If that makes you feel any better, I get dope slapped regularly. See, the issue isn't that we leak. There's no such thing as 60-40% of the Holy Spirit. There is no such thing as 60-40. The battle going on is not about how much of the Holy Spirit is there versus self. That's not it. It's either all self or all Jesus. It's one or the other. There's no tweener in this. Either you're pregnant or not. You guys are supposed to smile at that. It's either all or nothing. It's not this battle between the Holy Spirit and self. No, 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 no. Either self is on the throne and in complete control, or Jesus is on the throne and he is in control. It's one or the other. Just in case you think I'm wrong, I called my Greek professor and spent an hour on the phone with him. When I started going through this in the original language and studying, I'm like, I got to call up Mr. Collier. Mr. Collier, man, I've been studying. Is this right? Have I been wrong? Yeah, Jeff. This is the same guy that said repetition penetrates the dullest of minds. He invited me to keep calling him back. I love him. And here's my concern. I believe that I and we are so used to self being on the throne that we have settled for trying harder with behavior modification or simply hiding. I'm going to read more scripture. I'm going to study more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to remember whatever it is, whatever it is. That's behavior modification. Now, all of those things are good. But self, the only thing that will crucify self is inviting the Holy Spirit to come and crucify self for us. And the Apostle Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I live, but Christ liveth in me. Why have we been commanded to be being filled with the Holy Spirit? Because somehow self gets off. See, Paul also said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable act of service. Where is that found? Romans what? Romans 12, 1. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When the Holy Spirit is in control, he puts self to death and he transforms our mind and thinking. When self is in control, then we try, it's like trying to keep a beach ball underwater. It might be fun for a while, but you can't keep it down. It just keeps coming up. You're in Romans 7. The very thing I want to do, I don't. The very thing I don't want to do, I find myself doing. It's that beach ball keeps coming up, keeps coming up. See, the Apostle Paul, man, we're going to get done way early. I have to talk this fast all the time. You could have 100 slides every time. Paul chose full surrender, full access, and the ongoing filling of the Holy Spirit. And so the real question, not percentage of who's, you know, is how much of the Holy Spirit do I have? Oh, I need more of the Holy Spirit, just a little bit more of the Holy Spirit. I need to memorize more. I need to do this more. The real question is, what percentage of your life is under the control of the Spirit versus self? I know I reversed that. What percentage of your life, because it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. It's either all self or it's all the Holy Spirit. And so my question is, what percentage of this past week, what percentage was under the complete control of the Holy Spirit? All the rest was self. How was your week? Did you walk in the abundant life? Did you experience love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness? Or did that only happen while you were sleeping? And even then it doesn't happen. Not all the time. You see, the Apostle Paul, he's born again, yet carnal, because self was still on the throne. And brothers and sisters, I'm talking about me too. I'm still learning about this. I'm still calling my Greek professor, and is this right? Have I misunderstood this? It's been said, when the pupil is ready, the teacher appears. You ever heard that before? When the pupil is ready, the teacher appears. I probably heard this all my life, and I wasn't quite ready for it. But the reality is, we either live here, self in control, or we live here, crucified, because the Holy Spirit has filled us, has crucified self, and put Christ on the throne. Where have you been living? That's my simple question. Where have you been living? Self? There? Or there? I know where I want to live. But then that's Romans 7. Paul knew what he wanted to do. Could he do it on his own? It takes the Holy Spirit. It takes us, because now there's no condemnation. There is no condemnation. Even Adam and Eve, Satan deceived them. I was afraid because I was naked and so I hid. And what did God do? God clothed them and provided for them. They didn't even need to hide. But Satan deceived them so that they ran off and hid. Your father in heaven, I don't know what your earthly father was like. My father beat my butt a couple times. I deserved it. But our Father in heaven loves us. There is therefore now no condemnation because Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid for our condemnation on the cross. So when the Father looks at me, he doesn't see a screw up. Isn't that what you think you really are? Isn't that what it feels like sometimes? That's Satan. When the Father looks at the believer, he sees Jesus Christ. And therefore, there should be no condemnation, no fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. But yet people keep choosing door number one. I was naked. I was afraid. I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid. Door number two, there is therefore now no condemnation. Come and ask the Holy Spirit, invite the Holy Spirit to crucify self so that you can live here and not there. I just want you to be honest this morning. Where are you living? Where are you spending most of your time? Jesus died on the cross so that we could live here. Table talk questions. What do you think about being betrothed to Jesus? What do you think about choosing sin? Think about choosing to sin is spiritual adultery. Can't even read my own question. What do you think about the real percentage question? What percentage of your life is under the control of self versus the Holy Spirit? We got a lot of time. Man, I can go through 100 easy. 120 next week. What do you say? Let's just take some time. We're not going to have a closing song. We're just going to take some time in silent prayer. Where have you been living? I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and speak to each one of us. Simply respond to whatever the Holy Spirit says. That's all. Father in heaven, I thank you for your plan. Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you that you were willing to come and die on the cross so that we don't have to hide anymore. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your work in our lives. Holy Spirit, please, you are here. You have been here. You've been here from the very beginning of 2 and 3 gathering in this place. You've been here, Lord Jesus. We welcome you. Holy Spirit, please. Please speak to each one here. I know there's some here that don't even know you as Savior. And I believe there's others here that self is in control. They want to do the right thing. They don't want to be unfaithful to you, Jesus. And yet, we keep choosing. We don't want to, but we do. Please, Holy Spirit, come. Come and fill us. Come and speak to each one of us. Come and crucify self. Come. Reveal and do whatever you choose. We simply sit before you. Come. Come in this moment as only you can. Holy Spirit, thank you for your patience. Please, please continue. Continue your work in me and in us. We need delivered from ourselves. I need delivered from myself. Please, so sensitize my heart and mind that I recognize immediately when I start taking control. Just like that illustration of we're burdened and we pray to you and you give us peace. And then just a few moments later, we start worrying all over again. Please help us to recognize when self, and we don't even know how it happens. I don't know how it happens. When self gets back on the throne, please show us so that the instant it begins to happen, we can ask forgiveness and invite you to come and fill us newly and freshly, and for you to crucify self so that Jesus can sit on the throne of our hearts. And we can walk in intimacy with you. Please continue to meet each person, each one of us exactly where we are, and draw us to yourself. I am in desperate need of more of you. Please. John the Baptist was so right on. He must increase, I must decrease. Please continue your work in each one of our lives. In fact, I stand by faith and I thank you in advance that he who began a good work, you, the one who began a good work in us, will bring it about to its completion. And our destiny, according to Romans chapter 8, our destiny is to be like you, Jesus. And so please continue your work. And the things I don't know how to ask, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are interceding with groanings that cannot be uttered. Thank you that the best days are yet ahead. Thank you. Thank you. Father in heaven, I pray these things. We pray these things, and we pray them in your name and in your authority. Amen. Please stand together with me. This altar is always open if anyone desires to come and pray. You can come and pray silently here, or if you'd like someone to pray with you, come on this side. But please receive this benediction. It's my favorite. It's right out of Scripture. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord turn his face towards you and be gracious unto you. The Lord cast his eyes upon each one of you and grant you his peace, his shalom. And so may the personal name of God be written upon your forehead, for all to see and all time. May we go in peace. Amen.